topic you chose for today is a very fascinating topic. It affects every last one sitting here. It affects the entire Torah world. It's a quagmire we're caught up in. We're living. It's a work in motion. Tell me, what is this? Has anyone seen this before? Tell me, if this was the year 1938, did such a paper exist? Absolutely not. This tells you to be outside the matzah, hold it in the red and orange area combined. Korach, just the orange area. Hafikomen, once again combined. Mara leaves, the entire yellow area. If you're using stalks, only the green boundary. What does this represent? This represents rupture and reconstruction. The entire Torah world came to an end with Hitler and with the Sephardic world, the founding of the State of Israel. Time and again, we have lived in one community 100 years, 200 years. Nothing lasts. Halakha, the Tanchuma says, Esav son of Yaakov. Very odd. Halakha. What are we dealing with? A halachic concept? What is this, a Mishnah Berurah, an Aruch HaShulchan? We're dealing with an Agadah. But the Medrash understood very well. Halakha. It is like a halakha. It can never change. Esav son of Yaakov. So ultimately, we get kicked out. Spain, Portugal, the golden age of Spanish Jewry. Who would ever dream what would happen to East European Jewry? Look what's happening to French Jewry. As we speak, prices of homes in Yerushalayim go up daily because all the Ashkenazic French want to live in my neighborhood and be near Ohel Nechama. Ohel Nechama is Nusach Strasbourg. All the Sephardic Jews from France have raised the prices in Herzliya, Ranana. They want to be on the Riviera, near the ocean, near the sea, near the Yam HaGadol. So what ultimately happens, you develop a certain Torah lifestyle within a certain framework. As we spoke about yesterday, Ge'er V'Tosha V'Nochi Imachem. And you've reached a certain synthesis. You know how to live, you know how to dress, you know how to act. You know how much matzah to eat because you watch your father, you watch your grandfather. You know how much mara you have to take. It's in the family. It's a mimetic tradition. You're mimicking the generations that came before you. And then destruction comes, and we have to rebuild. And the United States of America, we have since World War II, and you all are part of it and have seen it and live with it, tremendous return to Yiddishkeit. Children, Balei Tshuva, but very few have parents or grandparents they can emulate. The few that have are in the minority. Yes, there was a certain element basically in Brooklyn that remained from when the Lubavitcher Rebbe arrived in America. My wife's cousin described the scene. He was there. Zichrona Levracha, Eliezer Shon. I later read about it in Chabad literature. And they described the scene at the pier where the sixth Rebbe came in. And ads were published in the five daily Jewish newspapers at the time. Whoever holds Chabad dear, whoever knows what Lubavitch is, we want to inform you that the sixth Rebbe, the Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, is arriving at this time at Battery Park, at this pier, and in Betfameich, we're asking you, come out in your masses to greet the Rebbe. Thousands upon thousands of people came out. There's some movie clippage of this. Primitive movies. Homemade movies. And you see these hundreds upon hundreds of people standing to greet the Rebbe. And my cousin described to me perhaps 90% were Mechallelei Shabbos. But they yet remembered the old home, the old feeling, the nostalgia. This is Hasidus. It's not a Lekalta Litvak V'Yichbin. I'm not going to translate that. I don't want to embarrass myself in public. But the Varimkeit of the Hasidic home, the court of the Rebbe. And when the Rebbe appeared, my wife's cousin told me, one Jew started a niggun from the Alter Chabad, and hundreds of voices picked up the niggun. And grown men were standing there crying. People were makabel on themselves. They'll never be Mechallel Shabbos again. The Rebbe is yetzt in America. And you have to know, the women didn't go along with it. Generally, women are not frumer than the men. But if you knew America, Saturday night, this is before TV, before the computer, what you have today, Saturday night you went to the movies. And you can't go to the movies without going to the beauty parlor at 10 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos. And this woman had a 10 o'clock appointment, Shabbos after Shabbos after Shabbos. She's going to give up an appointment she first got in 1929 when the beauty parlor was mobbed on Shabbos. But you know when she came along? When the Kinderlach came home from day school, the day schools that were just beginning, and they said to the mother, Mama, it's not nice for us that you're not Sabbath observant. And what a mother will do for a child, she will not necessarily do for a husband. Am I right or wrong? Okay. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. And of course, the new Frumkeit took over. We have some fascinating, whimsical stories. There's one story I write about in the Silvi era, which I am an eyewitness to. Someone just showed me this morning, Mr. Kramer, Milton Kramer, I don't see him here. I'm quoted, they quote a few pages from my seventh book, Washington to Washington. Rabbi Talushkin quotes it in his book on the Rebbe. So what he's quoting, I'm the only ear witness in the world to that story that he's quoting from Washington. What I'm telling you now that I write about in Silva, I'm not quoting anyone else. This is not now I have to quote Herman Schwab, or I have to quote Rav Hirsch. I'm quoting these eyes, saw it right in front of me. I'm learning in Lakewood, and with Davin Mincha, and Rabaran, we're saying Kedusha, Rabbanu is saying Kedusha, Rabbanu Kotler, Kletzka Rosh Yeshiva. And right after the Kedusha, he turns around and he's holding on to his shtender. And some little idiot who probably was a monkey on a tree eating bananas until they got hold of him for Yiddishkeit, and he's now learning in Lakewood or visiting Lakewood, he went over to the Rosh Yeshiva. And Shuldik, Kletzka Rosh Yeshiva, excuse me, Kletzka Rosh Yeshiva, but you're not allowed to turn around until the Atak Hadosh is finished. And we were astounded. This little pipsqueak is giving Musa to Rabbaran Kotler. And Rabbaran answers, that there's a machlokes, you know, among the paiskim, whether you have to wait for the whole Atak Kodosh to Baruch Atah Hashem, Akel HaKadosh, and then you turn around, or you can turn around the minute the Chazan begins Akat Kadosh. The Litvisha turned around the minute the Chazan began, they went back and held on to their shtenda and faced the Olam. Rebinish al Olam, rupture and reconstruction. In Yerushalayim, the city was shaking. 1951, my Rebbeim from Mir, the Shanghai crowd, I owe my Yiddishkeit basically my learning. I might have remained a frum Jew, but I would have been a big Amaretz. But I owe my learning, whatever I've achieved in life, to Senpo Sugihara, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, the Japanese consul in Kovno. So my Rebbeim at Yeshiva Salanta, 7th grade, 8th grade, were Shanghai survivors. So I was going to Bronx High School of Science. My parents already had me programmed to be a medical doctor like all Jewish boys. They achieved it with my brother. But Reb Chenich Fishman said to me, it's not good, it's nicht gut. You darf noch lernen, and you have to remain in yeshiva, you have to learn yet. And he talked me into going to Talmudical Academy. So now I needed a bechina. It's June already, past the bechina time. He arranged a special bechina with Reb Mendel Zaks, the Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law, the bochein of the yeshiva. I write about this in Washington. I come in for the bechina, I'm sitting around, there's some other fellows, each one has a bechina for a different reason, and then my turn comes, and it's the first Jew I ever saw in my life, mit langer begodem, what you see here Shabbos, that every second Jew in Lawrence wears. It's the first time I saw a Jew with long clothes, with a rabbana shahat, with a langer bard, Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law. I'm shivering, I'm shaking. I was 13 years old, I already knew who the Chafetz Chaim was. And Reb Mendel says, "Oh, Rotkoff, zag the Gemara. Was far Gemara hat ega? What Gemara did you learn? Say the Gemara. Say the Gemara. Fly through the Gemara." I say. Then he says, "Zag a bissel Rasi." And do I panic? And thank God, Rabbi Berman. I checked out where he is today. I give you the facts in Washington. He saved my life. He leans over. He means Rashi. Ah, Habichot Galein to Rashi in Taisvis. I got into the second Shia, and then I met Alikvat, a guten Sabbis, Zeit gesund. You understand? New, many years later, now Rav Zaks took me into the yeshiva. He examined me every year until I reached the Rav Shia. Later, he examined all my students. One of them is Myron. Myron, where are you? One of my students is sitting here. Remember, Rav Zaks examined you? I was Zaycha. He examined me, and then he examined my Talmidim. And then he comes to Israel in his old age. And I met him in Israel, and we said zusammengeret in Yiddish, mit sein literacy Yiddish and my Amerikanische Yiddish, but we understood each other. And then he died, Zichrona Levracha. His wife now, the Chafetz Chaim's daughter, is left in Almana. And they arranged, she lived in Matastov. And every Friday night, a different yeshiva boy would come to the house, machin kiddush fayir. She wanted to hear kiddush from a man. She could have made kiddush herself, but in their world, a man daf machin kiddush. Fine. One Friday night, this Yerushalayim was in turmoil. This spread Saturday night. Within 20 minutes, the whole Yerushalayim, which was much smaller then, knew what had happened. And she gives him the cup for Kiddush, the silver cup. And this Eiswaf says to the Chafetz Chaim's daughter, the cup is not big enough. Das hat nicht das Shir. It's not a revit. And she says to him very calmly, mein Tate, the Chafetz Chaim, hat gemacht Kiddush auf der Kais. This was the kos that my father used. So you can imagine what this story indicates, rupture and reconstruction. I have a classmate who arguably is the greatest Talmud Chacham to ever be born in America and grow up in America. Gaon Shebegoidim, you have no idea what this man knows. Later he gets involved with Chochmat Yisrael, scientific Jewish scholarship. He's a Talmud Mufhag of Professor Jacob Katz from German-Hungarian origins, seminary of Hildesheim, etc., teaching professor at Hebrew U, wrote about 18 different books. I got a Birchat Kohanim from him every Shabbos. He lived around the corner from me. And who am I talking about? A little individual named, I don't want to give him all his titles, but we give him some at least, Rabbi Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik. You may recognize the name because his father happened to be Mori Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. And he was my classmate when he finished Harvard. The last 2 years that I was at yeshiva till I got smicha, Chaimko was in my class, my friend, Reb Heschel Schachter's friend, one of the boys studying with the Rav. Chaim wrote many sforim where there's a perfect synthesis between classic learning and Wissenschaft des Judentum, scientific Jewish scholarship. But he wrote one article that perhaps is his most famous work, quoted and requoted. I understand he's working on a new edition. It came out already 20 years ago in Tradition, the summer of 1994, Rupture and Reconstruction. And Chaim has many genius, insightful concepts. But he too describes this process. And I want to quote to you word by word what he writes beginning on page 98. In 1959, I came to Israel before the High Holy Days, having grown up in Boston and never having had an opportunity to pray in a Haredi yeshiva. I spent the entire High Holy Day period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur at a famous yeshiva in Bnei Brak. You can put in parentheses, Rakefid says it was Panovich Yeshiva. Close the parentheses. The prayer there was long, intense, and uplifting. Certainly far more powerful than anything I had ever experienced. And yet, there was something missing. Something I had experienced before. Something perhaps I had taken for granted. Upon reflection, I realized there was no introspection, self-ascent, even moments of self-transcendence. There was no fear, even if there were such moments. There was no fear in the thronged student body, most of whom were Israeli born. Nor was that experience a solitary one. Over the subsequent 35 years, I have passed the High Holy Days generally in the United States and Israel, occasionally in England, attending services in Haredi and non-Haredi communities. I have yet to find that fear present to any significant degree among the native born in either circle. And of course, what Chaim is saying, in Europe, my Rebbeim described to me that when Chodesh Elul came in, the fish in the sea were trembling. Here today, Lawrence, Yerushalayim, where I daven, we don't miss a slichat. We don't miss a tekiyat ha-shofar. We don't miss an Avinu Malkeinu during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. But the fear, the tangible fear, the Yirat Hashem, Yemei Hadin, Yamim Noraim, it's not with us. It's a normal existence. Coffee in the morning, the Wall Street Journal, work, normal existence. We're not transformed. We've lost the feeling. And Chaim writes, and it's true, I spoke with my father, and he gives you the source, the Rav in a Yortzeit drasha and a Tshuva drasha, which remained in Yiddish, even when the Rav changed to English, but his two most important drashot of the year remained in Mamalashim. The Rav was connected when he was speaking. It was Reb Chaim Zeinikel speaking. He was back in Litta when he was speaking. The Rav said the same thing. And Chaim describes Boston, you can read it. People who were Mechalalei Shabbos, but were born in Schnippestock, that's a suburb of Vilna, were born in little cities in Poland. They may have been Mechalalei Shabbos, But when Yomim Narayim came, when Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur came, in Maimonides, where these Mechalalei Shabbos were davening, they were crying. There was fear. They still had the connection to their youth that we in America lack. We who are a new generation, we who are attempting to reconstruct Yiddishkeit, this is what we're lacking. And Chaim says so ingeniously, and many people have made the same comment, it could be subsequently to Chaim, even before Chaim, but Reb Chaim says, look at all the books that have come out today. Open up the Shulchan Aruch, you'll find Hilchat Chol HaMoed, a number of simanim. Today you have entire volumes. Dinei Chol HaMoed, Dinei Muktzah, entire volumes on Borei. How do you eat fish on Friday night? How do you take the bones out? Jews have eaten fish for the last 2,000 years, ever since the Zohar became popular. Why do we need so many books? One little siman in the Shulchan Aruch and so many different volumes. Because we're lacking the continuity, rupture, and we're trying to reconstruct. And this is happening in the United States. It's the second greatest center of Torah. Unfortunately, in the reconstruction process, at times there is controversy, there's machloket, particularly if you go with the viewpoint that I'm totally correct and everyone else is incorrect. They use the term das Torah, but when you go with such a viewpoint, it engenders endless machloket. But ultimately, and as a Talmud of the Rav, may I use the Hegelian dialectics, thesis, antithesis, or antithesis. Ultimately, we Jews, what I spoke about yesterday, last night I think it was, we're very smart. How does the Gemara put it in Pesachim, Daf Samech Vav? Im lo neviyim heim, b'nei neviyim heim. We're very smart. What did I quote yesterday? The Gemara in Bracha, Daf Memchei Amar Aleph, Fuchazi Ma'amad Devar. The healthy sense of the Torah people will create a new structure. Yes, there was loss, there was change. We're in a new world today, rupture and reconstruction. And here I'll share a personal thought with you. Some of you might know that a few weeks ago, I don't know how it happened, Yeshiva University suddenly discovered that Aaron Rakefet is alive. Is it good or bad? Believe me, it's bad. The Eibush, the Lesnish, that 2 weeks of covered Malachim, and then I got back to Israel, 2 weeks of absolute Akmas Nefesh. So I made a deal with the Rabbani Shalom, the Chvunish the covered, and the Chvunish they hit the Akmas Nefesh. Keep me stable. Thank God the Rabbani Shalom has listened in the subsequent few weeks. V'kein Hala. So for the first time since closing the door uptown in 1969, and there's a picture in Washington to Washington, there's a picture of my leaving the yeshiva the last day. So my student snapped the picture. I'm walking out holding the Gemara as my final shiur, and a few days later we boarded the boat to go in Aliyah. And now 45 years later, I return to the yeshiva, b'kol truat, Rabbi, Dr. Aaron Rakefet. I got so many titles. The first time I was introduced to Rav HaGaon, the second time Rav HaGaon HaGadol, the third time Rav HaGaon HaGadol HaChassid, the fourth time Rav HaGaon HaGadol HaChassid HaTzadik. I got so many titles, Ribbono Shel Olam, if I believed one of them, I'd be a fool. So I was housed in the presidential suite. That was the very room where I last spoke with the Rav when I visited him in 83. That was his apartment. Now it's called the presidential suite. It's not the Waldorf Astoria, but it's a little better than most. So I had 2 weeks on yeshiva campus. I got a chance to feel the atmosphere. Let me tell you, there was someone from the Bronx who spoke to me before, Rabbi Yeruchim Gerelick would have heart failure if he would see what happened to the yeshiva. When I arrived, it was the rainiest day in the history of modern New York, if you recall. It was a Wednesday, pouring. We finally got to the yeshiva. Talmud was with me from Washington Heights, Dr. Charlie Hexter. My wife, myself, we get to the yeshiva a little before 9. All the minyanim are over. There's one more minyan, 9 o'clock in first hall, third floor. Hurry to the minyan. No one told us it's a Baal Tshuva minyan. We come home, we come in, Breslava, Chabadnikim. Oh my gosh, what a minyan. We were the only two guys there, Ayek and Alitvak on a gattel. We're the only two people at that minyan without a gattel. And a minyan at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was Reish Chodesh Iyar. And then the person running the minyan, Rabbi Simcha Willig, and I didn't know his background, this is an outreach rabbi, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, in the minyan, we now say Hallel with our tradition of singing it with musical instruments. And suddenly 5 Kalbachers there break out guitars and they're saying Hallel. When Charlie and I walked out, we both reacted the same way. Oy vey, if Rabbi Yeruchim Gerelick and Rabbi Noach Bornstein were around to see this minyan, there would have been a match put to the yeshiva, plain and simple. So, wow, why you shifting gears? You see, it's an ingathering. It's a reconstruction. It's a different world. Why you had a graduation ceremony? Can anyone tell me who got them millions of dollars worth of publicity? It was all over the world, on every Jewish TV station, on every talk show, on every Israeli newspaper. A young man named Wagshal, a Satma Chosid, with his parents and his siblings in full Hasidic regalia, getting a bachelor's magna cum laude from Yeshiva College. Wow, this is reconstruction. And let me tell you, Lakewood, the bastion of Torah, so many thousands of students, this is an American Lakewood. When I learned in Lakewood, you walked into the building, they put a mask over you, sealed it, and they pumped in air from Kletsk to the mask. It was Lithuanian air. You were breathing Litvische Luft. What I saw, it enabled me to do research, to publish 7 volumes, endless articles, lecture on Litva, what Litva was about. Today there isn't one Talmud in Lakewood who can write about Lithuania. Baruch Hashem, reconstruction, but reconstruction al Admat HaKodesh. And let me go one step further and end off this part of the talk. In Eretz Yisrael, we face the same problem 100 times more intense than in the United States. When I walk into shul, the shtiblach in Katamon, to daven mincha, I visit my daughter first, lives in Katamon, go to the shtiblach. I don't know which nusach I will be saying the kedusha in. It all depends on the chasen. Eidot HaMizrach, Ashkenaz, Teimani. You got to hear the Teimanim davening, Chabadnikim, Nusachari. Wow, do we have a challenge going on. But we have to learn to live with each other. Rav Gorin tried to introduce Nusach Achid. When I went into the army, when I did basic training, they gave me a gift, a Tanakh, a gun, and a siddur, Nusach Achid. And I later would say, the only thing Achid, the only thing that's uniform about the Nusach is that you never know what the Nusach will be until the Baal Tefillah gets up. That's the Nusach Achid. You will never know in advance. And I can show you with my own eyes what I showed you a year ago or 2 years ago. This is the ultimate reconstruction. This is what Israel is all about. Whoever saw Tzitzit like this before modern day Israel. No, did anyone in their right mind ever dream that there would be an official tzitzit issued by a Jewish army? And look what this tzitzit represents. Tzahal and Shmirat HaMitzvot, Tayag Mitzvot. HaMitzvah Sheshkula Kineged Kol HaMitzvot. And let me add in parentheses, they were collecting, there were advertisements in all the local newspapers, they want to manufacture another 20,000 pairs. The person in charge is my Talmud. I'll tell you how I saved Yiddishkeit for him and his rabbi, Lieutenant Colonel Yedidya Atlas. Totally, totally legitimate. And you know the story? Let me share it with you. You should know what Chinuch is about. He was my student, 72, 73. He came back in 73. The war broke out. Then he was cutting class wholesale. And he was down in Africa entertaining the troops. He was part of a whole Kalbach group with guitars and whatnot, dancing on the bridges crossing the Suez Canal, if you remember. And Reb Moshe Horowitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the founding dean of Beit Medrash LaTorah from Chicago originally, Reb Moshe wanted to throw him out. And I already had a little influence by 73. I was still a kid, but I already, 4 years in Israel, I had a bit of influence. I said, Reb Moshe, listen to me. This kid will not be a Gadol Hadon learning. You're right, he has ants in his pants. But what he's doing is not so terrible. I said, he will be a Gadol Hadon in klal work. And Baruch Hashem, Reb Moshe kept him into the yeshiva, and Rakefet was a prophet. The Gemara says a prophet with man is either a shaita or a katan, so I can be a fool and a katan. It doesn't bother me. But right I was. Rabbi Jedi Atlas, Lieutenant Colonel, in charge of religious acquisition for Tzva Haganah LiYisrael. My wife once got a Torah from a surviving woman who owned the Torah, and she wanted to give it to a shul in Muncie. And we said to her, what good is if you survive the Holocaust, you're going to leave it in the Gola, give it to the Israeli army. Within 2 days, the transfer was arranged through Jedi. My dear friends, two individuals who attempted rupture and reconstruction were Rabbis Revel and Silva. Rabbi Revel, and again, Art Scroll is wonderful, the Talmud, the Chumash, when it comes to their history volumes, they are over Isurim Dioraita. They are dishonest, spiritually dishonest, intellectually dishonest. Your former rabbi once promised me they'll be in touch with me, they'll speak to me. I wrote them letters, I never got answers. Rabbi Chalap once got an answer because he's well known. Who cares about Rakefet? Step on the plant. The founder of Torah in America was not Mr. Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. He was a follower. Read what he wrote when Rabbi Revel died. The first man to build Torah, selfless, Rabbi Dov Revel. He came to America in 06, winds up getting the first PhD from Dropsy. A Meredith Shidduch is made for him with a wealthy, very frum girl from Marietta, Ohio, Chaya Sarah Travis, oil industry family, Chabatnikim. He winds up in the family business, a gone idea, photographic memory, writes Chidushei Torah, and finally in New York, they plead with him, come to New York, head up our yeshiva, we need a high school. 1916, January, the doors open to Talmudical Academy. 1919, they celebrate the first smicha of 5 students who studied for smicha on the east side of New York, not Europeisha Lamdanim, but American Talmidei Chachamim. 1928, he opens Yeshiva College. 1935, he opens what is today the Bernard Revel Graduate School. And Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Revel leaves a tremendous heritage for us. Against all odds, cynicism, laughter, Reform Judaism, mocking him. And perhaps his greatest achievement of all, he didn't want his yeshiva to be second rate. And how do you make a great yeshiva? It's not the facilities, it's the Russia yeshiva. He brought the Maitre Te'il of Shlomo Palachek to America September 1st, 1922. September 1st, you should make a special l'chaim. He was the first Gaon b'Yisrael, Talmud Mufak of Rav Chaim Brisker, to come to the United States, not to shna, not to raise funds, but to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan. When the Meitzet died, Rabbi Revel brought over Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And because of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik coming with his children, I'm a Talmud of his son, Rabbi Yosef Dov. Some of you here studied with Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. Some of you studied with his grandson-in-law, Gaon b'Yisrael, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. Some of you study in Lander College with Rabbi Eliyahu Soloveitchik, Rabbi Shmuel Marcus, another great-grandson has now gone to Lander College. And this is all due to Dr. Revel. Was it Europe that he rebuilt here? No. It was Europe with American accommodations, with a synthesis, with a Torah Hashem Tamima that thrives al admat atzot abrit until today. Reb Lazer Silva brought over the rabbinate, the Europäische rabbinate. This is not the American rabbinate. The American rabbinate at that time, endless machloket, kashrut, yes, no, people fighting. Entire doctorates have been written, fraud, corruption, and holiness. A doctorate by Hal Gatsworth at Columbia University on kashrut in America in the 20s and the 30s and 40s. Rabbi Silva was selfless. The congregation had to pay his wife, because if they would give him the money on the way from the shul back to his house, he would give it away to poor people who approached him, Mendaf Machana Chasna, Mendaf Akala, Mendaf Shtitzana Chasen, whatever the reason was, the money would disappear. When the Holocaust was upon us, no one but no one had greater influence, greater zest, greater zeal, greater foresight than Reb Lazer Silva. Organized the Vat Hatzalah, how many souls he saved. Let me tell you two stories and conclude. Reb Lazer's insight, wisdom, unbelievable. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyeh
l'dvaro. Amen.
Reb Lazer's insight, one of a kind. 1940, who do you send to Vilna to see what's going on? The Holocaust is beginning. On one side, communist Russia. One side, Nazi Germany. An independent Lithuania for a few months in the middle. All the yeshivot have run away to Lithuania from Poland, elsewhere. Doesn't send a frum Jew. He thinks to himself, if I send a frum Jew, the majority of the American Jewish community will not believe me. He sends, anyone know the name? I write about him, Professor Zuroff, Dr. Zuroff writes about him, Dr. Shmuel Schmidt, Samuel Schmidt. My students all know this. Dr. Schmidt was head of public health service in Cincinnati. Well known, active in Pole Tzion, that's like Mapai, Zionist organization. And Dr. Schmidt comes to Vilna, and he goes to see the address he was given, Reb Chaim Eiser Grzynski, the Rav of Vilna, Reb Lazer Silva's Rebbe. And they speak, they talk, and Reb Chaim Eiser, the genius of a Gadol b'Yisrael, Reb Chaim Eiser turns to Dr. Schmidt and says, "Mege chaych rufen, Reb Shmuel. Can I call you Reb Shmuel?" And Dr. Schmidt says, "Rebbe, ich bin nicht wertig, I'm not worthy. Ich bin a machalal Shabbos." And Reb Chaim Eiser says to him, "But you risked your life in coming here. I'm calling you Reb Shmuel." They shook hands, and I want you to know that Dr. Schmidt was never machalal Shabbos again in his life. And I met great-grandchildren, Shomrei Torah Mitzvah, because of Reb Chaim Eiser, Reb Shmuel, and the Hanschlag. Think about that. So what have I said so far? Rupture and reconstruction. It's a fascinating topic. We're living it. It's not finished. The thesis, we're now in the antithesis. We're trying to work out a synthesis. The more Havat Yisrael, the easier and the more beautiful the synthesis will be. I came back and I told my students in the Kollel, boy, am I a phony. I think back to Rabbi Ruchim Gerelich, Rabbi Noach Bornstein, and I called on Dr. Hexter, who's world famous in his field, Harvard graduate, a Yekka from Washington Heights, came in Aliyah a little after we did. I said, Charlie, tell the class what we saw. And you know, I said, I'm glad you were with me. No one believed this happened, but I had an eyewitness. And he tells the class, and I say, gentlemen, if I were for real, I'd be like Yeruchim Gerelich, Rav Noach Bornstein. I'd be jumping, I'd be cursing, I'd be maledicting. You remember Rav Yeruchim Gerelich, Mitashpai? And I said, and look at me, I'm the happiest guy in the world. At NYU we have semi-Litvakin, semi-Hasidim, even Breslava, Chabadnikim on all corners. We should all be filled with Torah and Yirat Shemayim. And the same process is happening in Israel, where it's infinitely more difficult because you have so many different Torah cultures. But our children already, and my own personal family, myself and my brother, we now have Yemenites in the family, Tunisians in the family, Libyans in the family, Moroccans in the family, and I hate to tell you, I can't tell the difference between them and my family and my brother's family. Ashreinu shezachinu lakach. The two subjects of my first two books, and I'm humbled these books have become, they're called classics in the field. I know that there isn't a place where American Jewish history is taught which do not include these two volumes on the syllabus. So you talk about Revel, brought over Torah from Litta, planted it in America, and succeeded against all odds at that time. It's the 1920s. It's not 2020. Reb Lazer Silva brought over a rabbinate of dignity, of dedication, of devotion. Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik worshipped the ground that Reb Lazer Silva walked on. You want a proof? When Reb Aaron Lichtenstein and Tova Soloveitchik got married, all the Gedolei Yisrael were there. Reb Moshe, the Rav's first cousin, once removed. Reb Shmuel Belkin, Reb David Lifshitz, who wasn't there? And the Rav was Mechabed Reb Lazer Silva L'Sadeh Kedushin. And that says it all. But I end off with one story about Reb Lazer. I have it in the book, absolutely true. I was not any witness, but it's documented. And it indicates the rupture, but above all, the reconstruction, and how Reb Lazer, to a certain degree, Americanized. There was a meeting of Poli Agudat Yisrael, and Reb Lazer was in attendance, and they elected Fabian Schoenfeld, the rabbi of Kew Gardens Hills, as the president. And some individual shouted out, "Was for a busha, it's a disgrace for us, having a president with a zanobin Fabian, that it's a disgrace, a president with the name of Fabian." And Reb Lazer Silva got up and cut him off menacingly. "Rabbeinu Tam hat gekent haben a Talmid Mufak, Rabbeinu Peter. Was heißt Rabbeinu Peter? Peter, mir ken haben a Fabian Schoenfeld." Do I have to translate? If Rabbeinu Tam can have his outstanding Talmud, who said if he were Kohen, he would be defile himself at the funeral of his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Tam, then we can have, if Peter is good enough, then Fabian is good enough. And these are the two individuals. Now I conclude with a personal story that none of you will believe, because you'll think it's Ruach HaKodesh, a Rebbe, and no Ruach HaKodesh, no Rebbe, but B'didi HaVeyuv, that happened to me, and I conclude. My dear friends, some of you know that my wife and I worked for the Mossad in Russia for 10 years. I write about it in Washington, and a book came out now by the Mossad, B'nativ HaDemama, where the stars of the book are known to us until the book launch, The stars of the book are your humble servants, Malka and Aaron Rakefik. Now, in order to go to Russia, when the Mossad was researching on me, unknown to me, they check you out. Everyone I ever sent afterwards had to go through a bedika bitchonit. And you should know that if today, if this were 1980, the Mossad would have never approached me. I would have been rejected by the bedika bitchonit for one simple reason. My eldest son-in-law, who comes into the family a few years later, serves in the army for 20 years, becomes a high-ranking officer, until today works in security. I cannot elaborate. You understand what I'm saying. You're then a security risk, that you might know something that you heard from your son-in-law, that the KGB will beat the hell out of you until they get the information. So in 1962, 63, again, all the details are in Washington, Bernie Lander, dean of the graduate school, I come in, give him a topic for my doctorate in Tziv, and he says to me very esoterically, Arnie, we may have a different topic for you. Come back in 2 weeks. I come back 2 weeks later, and he sits me down, and he puts his arm around me, and he says, you know, I had a Rebbe. Nothing has been written about him. He left no children. The children never married. There are no grandchildren. Had two sons, never married, no grandchildren. Nothing remains of my Rebbe. We were looking for someone like you, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva, and can write scholarship. We want you to do a doctorate on Bernard Revel. And with that, he breaks into tears. He's crying, holding my shoulder. We both acted this out in Toby Willick's house many, many years later. And the doctorate is assigned to me. Do the doctorate, and as they say, the rest is history. I want you to know that if this were 1963, Bernie Lander could have never approached me, could have never spoken to me, could have never assigned this doctorate to me. You're wondering why? Because I was walking through Geula on the way to my son-in-law, the dentist. And I love to walk through Geula, and I'm looking at the bookstores. It's about 4 or 5 years ago now. And I see a book, Yashar Yisroni on Kovna. Kovna, wow, that's where my mother's family comes from. That's where Rabbi Revel came from. So I take the book, written by Yitzchak Elchanan Gibraltar, Anima Daftev, flip the pages, and I see Rabbi Revel's picture. Within a minute, I bought the book. And I start reading the book, and I see Revel's picture, and I see Revel is from the Kalvariski family. And I go back to my mother. She was alive at that time, in her mid-90s. And I say, Mom, didn't you always tell us that your mother comes from such a firm, wonderful family, Kalvariski? And my mother says, yes, I always told you. But you were never interested. Of course I was never interested. My grandparents, Zichronim Levracha, but they came from Kovna, Vilna. My grandfather learned in Volozhin, could quote Gemaras by heart. I don't want to tell you what happened to them in America. My father's parents, and my that other Zayda, who could daven, could read Ivra, didn't understand Perish Hamilot, lived in America 60 years, was never Mechal Shabbos. So you tell me, your mother's family, I listened with one ear. Oh, but now I listened with two ears. I called Hebrew U, my Talmud Chaver, Professor Shel Stampfer, who's written on the history of Torah in Eastern Europe. He told me right away, call the author, he's still alive, he's in B'nai Brak in his 90s. I called the author, and we have a long talk, and we put names together, and Rabbi Revel was my cousin. If I am correct, his grandparents are my great-great-grandparents on the Kalvariski side. So it turns out, number one, had I known in 63, I was possibly Eidus, I'm Mushchad, it's my relative, how can I write a bad word about him? And secondly, Ani Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me a great zchut to build the monument that has been so graciously accepted by Klal Yisrael to the memory of my own cousin who has no other monument. So I say about Rabbis Revel and Silva, Yehei Zichram Baruch.